This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Frieda Lewis, Resource Center, and it's Her Vantage, where we speak to women of influence and leadership. A social entrepreneur, author, columnist, performance coach, and former human rights advocate for Amnesty International Malaysia. At age 22, Angela Yap was the youngest elected Board of Governor for Amnesty International in Malaysia. Her other accolades include being featured in a special edition book titled Successful Women Entrepreneurs, produced by the Ministry of Women, Family and Community Development for the Global Women's Summit in 2013, nominated for the inaugural Women of Excellence Award, an event sponsored by the Ministry, 2014, and the Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year Award, 2014, amongst many other things. We find out what she's up to now. So very good to see you again, Angela, and we haven't spoken in a while. You've done a lot in the last few years. So how, I know one of the things that we talked about previously was the Awake Minds program. How's that coming along? And maybe just a refresher of what you do.
Okay. ACASA is essentially a social enterprise in that the money that we make either via the publishing arm or through the trainings itself gets channeled into education programs across the country. We either sponsor education programs or we run them ourselves, and that's called Awake Minds. Awake Minds is not about teaching kids the basic skills of reading, writing and arithmetic, but we talk about value-added skills that kids will need. For instance, motivation, personal development. We're seeing that a lot of kids today have issues of depression. Mm. They need to know how to manage themselves. And that's actually a bigger problem than basic learning skills. True. It's actually life skills. Yeah. We've also got the publishing arm that we're trying to expand right now. Our latest book is Dining with Dragons with Chef Carol Selvraja. And what we have is money's made via these two revenue streams, trainings of Awake Minds, or through the books, gets channeled into education programs for under-resourced kids and also refugees. Mm. These are free trainings that we provide because we realize that there are a lot of kids, or even adults actually, who have a lot of areas that they need to enhance, but don't necessarily have the resources to do so.
Mm-hmm. So you would say that social change would be the main, would be what you're doing, and it covers refugees to women and
and kids as well.
And kids. Okay. So, you know, would you say what you do is a social enterprise?
Yes, because we have a very clear revenue stream. We are not funded by anyone. Everything that we do either comes from the sales of our books or from people who enroll in our trainings. We've also got some really very, very kind sponsors this year to help underwrite the cost of Awake Minds, which is a one-year mentorship program that we're running this year. It's exclusively with several kids from LaSalle Brickfields.
Right.
I was brought in by the principal and asked to see how we could change them because they come from a very...
Disadvantaged.
Globally, the term disadvantage isn't too good, but in this part of the world, I guess it's an understood term. They come from a background where opportunities don't necessarily always open for them, but they're bright kids and they're great kids. For instance, I think one of my boys, Sada, he said that he had some issues with confidence and he had a little bit of a speech and stammer. And today he's going out and he's MC for his school. Oh. He's just gotten to the Malaysian Book of Records for a tabla, non-stop tabla playing competition.
Right.
Another child, Naim, he's sitting for his SPM this year. He had an issue with a curved back and we've helped children with curved backs before, trying to straighten it. It has a lot to do with confidence. It's got a lot to do with your self-esteem, how you feel about yourself. Mm. But also physically, we try and fix that too.
Mm.
And it usually takes me about maybe 1 to 2 months to help physically change a child. He did it in 2.5 weeks.
Wow.
And that's amazing.
Mm.
So it's really about the determination of the child.
Mm.
And we're finding that when we reach out to children who don't come from particularly good backgrounds or where they don't have these sort of opportunities on a daily basis, but they need it, it's a very different ballgame altogether compared to the commercial market. And that's what really makes what we do worthwhile, to see that change. That's why we spend a year mentoring these kids rather than a very short period. And it's intense stuff.
Right.
I think we want to see that change. And we want to see them prosper even beyond the program. Mm. And it takes that long a time to see the difference.
It's not going to happen in 2 days.
No.
It's not a 2 days workshop.
No, no, no. The biggest problem usually is parents who expect to see results in a couple of days. But it's taken years of
for them.
Habit forming to undo that. Even the way you think. Yeah. Your self-esteem has a lot to do with your own mental process.
Mm.
To undo that really is the most difficult thing.
Mm.
It's not as easy as teaching someone how to do math.
Right.
So okay. I think the mentality or the objective of parents needs to change as well if they want their kids to come on board the program.
Okay. And I know when you first started out, it was like a 1+1, right?
Yes.
Where one kid can afford it and they have to bring someone, or it will be able to fund another kid that is not as advantaged.
Yeah. So we try and we tried something called a time bank.
Mm-hmm.
And that was linked to our book, Managing Yahoos, which mm-hmm. we launched in October 2012.
Right.
What happened there was, for every book sold, that would add an hour of free training for into Akasa's time bank.
Okay.
We would then use the time accumulated and send people out on the field, or usually I would do it myself. I bring on trainers as well to help with certain skills, and we've been trying to do that. It's been a partial success because the book hasn't gone really commercial, and we are trying to move it that way now because we need to see the revenue streams enhanced in order for us to keep the free programs going.
Mm.
So a lot of it this year has been about upscaling and expanding and trying to make the publishing arm more viable so that we can continue with the free programs.
Right. And then so just to help you with the revenue stream, we'll talk a little bit about the book Managing Yahoos, what it's all about after this.
Thank you.
I'm here with Angela Yap from Akasa. It's Resource Centre, BFM 89.9. This is Resource Centre. Good afternoon, Frida Liu here, Her Vantage, and where we speak to women of influence and leadership. I'm here with Angela Yap from Akasa. What she does is to help children, well, help kids and adults as well, and they do it through publishing and training, right? So one of the things that you were saying earlier on is your book, Managing Yahoos, and revenues from that book would actually help in the program of training kids. So the book Managing Yahoo, written in 2012, what's that book about?
It's a lot about right livelihood, about ethics. We introduce very lesser known concepts like Buddhist economics. A lot of people seem to see economics as hard numbers, figures, statistics. But really, it's not a new thing.
Right.
The study of economics and business and finance has expanded so much to include values in it.
Okay, so Buddhist economics, I like it.
I know, it's great. This was developed by Schumacher back in, it's been decades.
Right.
But it's never really caught on here. Uh-huh. But I think that we need to relook at how business is done, which is why we exist.
Mm-hmm.
We want to prove to people that it is possible to be profitable and yet also incorporate social programs as a very core part of your business. We're not turning over millions, Frida.
Yeah.
But I think it's a matter of your greed versus your need.
Mm.
And if we can change that, if we can change our priorities, then we understand that numbers have a meaning.
Mm.
The reason why we make money is so that we can also give money and give back.
Mm.
As long as we can pay the bills and people's salaries, I think that's pretty good.
Mm.
But there must be a greater meaning to why we make money.
Right. So, okay. So, and this book can be, and all your other books can be bought online via your website?
Via our website.
Okay.
That's akasa.com, akasaa.com.
Akasaa.
Double A.
Yeah, because people always probably just go and forget the other A. Now, you've spoken at the Women of the Future Summit and the Second Australian Leader Summit more recently, right?
That's
What's
right.
your underlying theme when you go out there and speak?
I think it's about speaking the truth and being very honest. And it does put you in a vulnerable position as a business person. For instance, like even Bursay, I've got friends who have been barred from going because of the organizations or even companies that they work for.
Mm.
Businesses are political animals, whether you like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
The business and political scenarios are intertwined.
Mm.
And we want to actually tell people that if you want to see change, the business community must be a very big part of it in being very frank in how they communicate and what they do.
Mm.
There's no point in this day and age to create smoke screens.
Yeah.
CSR has had a very, very bad reputation the past few years.
Because of the smoke screened.
Yes, that's right. So things must change. And we're very, very small. We're so small, it's not even funny. Not even a blip on the radar. But for me, it's always been about, if I can make that difference, or we can touch and change lives of even one person, even every year, that's a lot. Because it takes, that one person is going to influence another.
Yes.
And that person, it's a multiplier.
Is this a pay for program?
Correct. So it's something that we feel very strongly about. So the idea behind each time I go on and I speak, whether it's at the Women's Summit, which was really a shocker for me, because I don't know who nominated. Actually, I do know who nominated me, but that came very much later. And I think that we're very grateful to these people who have who've put in a good word for us, because we're not big. We're certainly not very influential, but we use these platforms very graciously to get the message out. Like when I was in London, I spoke about what it was to fail, because that is the reality of an entrepreneur. And we don't teach kids to fail. They are so afraid of failing that they don't even start trying. That must change. That really has to change. And it's a systemic problem, actually.
Right.
From childhood, you're brought up to be afraid of failure.
Failure, because of probably what the parents have to say as well.
That's right.
You know, and so you, when you work with all these books that you publish, right, and the latest one being the Dining with Dragons, so these people understand that proceeds of these books will also go towards whatever you're championing.
Yes, we do. We do have people who buy simply because they believe in the cause. We also have companies who have bought these as corporate gifts,
right?
Because it's a statement of values. Companies that talk about ethical living and support, support social work.
What's Dining with Dragons about? The book?
Oh, it's an amazing book.
Okay,
I'm not sure if you remember Chef Carol Selvraja. She's just a fabulous lady.
Right.
She was the first Asian woman to cook. To be invited to cook at James Beard Foundation in New York. And James Beard's the American kitchen god. She's also done so many groundbreaking things as a woman in her time. You may remember her on TV back in the 80s, on Chita Rasa and all that. She's the first lady to bring microwave cooking to this region.
Okay.
Syndicated in three different countries.
Okay.
She's a fabulous lady.
Okay.
You know? And we, the manuscript somehow came to me. I loved the manuscript. It talks so much about what Malaya used to be. And that's a statement that many people forget. This country was very different, you know. We had great things. We didn't have these issues of race, of it wasn't like that.
Yes.
Of fundamentalism.
Yes.
There was Malaysia in the 70s, 60s was so different. And she talks about it because she's a chef. What she's done is she has made this food memoir, a story of her life from her ama in China. She speaks Hokkien, by the way.
Okay.
She speaks fluent
Hokkien. She must be from Penang.
Her mom was from Penang. She was an orphan. And she talks about her ama's story, the sisterhood coming down, and you know what it took to come down as a single woman from China who was widowed.
Are these books also sold at bookstores?
We are going to launch Dining with Dragons in October. So that will be the first date that will be available. But right now, we have an ongoing crowdfunding campaign going on for the book. It's at Indiegogo. That's Indiegogo.com. And you can buy the book and pre-order for Christmas or as gifts. And for this first global edition, pre-orders, we will write your name into the book credits. So it'll be a great gift, I think.
Okay. Now, how can, I guess people can get involved in what you're doing by buying the books and also sponsoring as well?
That's right.
Okay. And the final question, you know, how do you feel about the rise of social enterprises in Malaysia? Are we moving the right direction?
I think it's gaining ground. I can speak personally about what we've tried to do as a very, very, very small company. We have moved away from trying to talk about social enterprise, the movement, and try to refine our own processes, because it is a very tough market. It's really, really hard. And we've been trying to balance a lot of cash flow issues together with the projects that we're trying to launch. We've seen some goodwill and it's fantastic. But today, I think that we're talking less about what it is to be a social enterprise and more about how we're going to survive as one.
It's been good speaking to you again. I'm sure I'll get you back on air for a lot more, and you know, with whatever projects that you're up to.
Thanks,
I've been
Frida.
Speaking to Angela Yap from ACASA. You've been listening to Resource Center, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.